Orders. You're not running the police department.
I'm not giving orders, but I need your help. Just do one thing for me, and you, and not the Shadow, will get the credit for the capture of the mass killer.
Oh, yes? Well, what do you want?
Just keep the crowd moving through the narrow arcade. Just keep them moving. Keep them moving. Everything depends on that.
What are you trying to do, Shadow?
To find a needle in a haystack. A man in a million.
You haven't a chance. The maniac won't come.
You overlook the fact that a dare is a powerful psychological magnet that no egotistical, crazed mind can resist. Just keep that crowd moving, Commissioner. Keep them moving.
Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. That was a little vignette of Act 1 of Circle of Death. The original air date on that was the 28th of November, 1937. Now, we'll just go right into Act 2. The Circle of Death, starring Orson Welles and Agnes Moorehead.
Under the name Blue Coal.
Keep moving. Well, the time's almost up, Commissioner Weston.
Yes. 6:02. Oh, this is the longest hour I've ever spent in my life.
Can you beat it the way people have flocked here on the chance of seeing somebody else blown to bits by this maniac?
Looks like the Shadow is right. The way they've been swarming through this arcade.
Yeah, and watching each other like a bunch of wild animals. You see what happened to that poor guy with the Christmas box? I nearly killed him before we got him out. All he had was a doll for his kid.
I saw it.
Well, the time's up, Commissioner.
Yes. Thank heavens.
Any orders, sir?
Just keep the men on duty till this crowd thins out. They'll be going home now.
Commissioner Weston, look.
What is it?
The maniac. He's been here. Look at this piece of paper.
Where'd you get it?
In the arcade. He must have dropped it.
Well, what's it say, Commissioner?
Tell that Shadow fellow I'll kill me a lot more people at 11 o'clock tonight.
I was afraid something had happened.
Something has. I found the maniac.
Thank heavens. Have you notified the police?
Margot, this man is a fiend. If I notified the police and they'd bungle things, he might kill hundreds of people. This is a job that the Shadow must handle alone.
But Lamont, he's dangerous. You might fail. He might kill you.
The Shadow won't fail, Margot. But if he should, it's far better that one die than hundreds.
Oh, Lamont, please. There must be a safer
way. Perhaps, Margot, but this is the only sure way to end the career of this mass killer. Goodbye, my dear.
Lamont. Oh, Lamont.
Gladly, Connors. Here comes the headquarters car.
Yeah, it's Commissioner Weston's car. He's plenty worried about this maniac threatening to kill another batch of people at 11 tonight.
Well, you sure have to go out of the theater area to kill him. They won't let anybody in the district here without a police permit.
Wait a minute. Here comes a guy. Hey, you! You!
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Where do you think you're going?
Me? I'm going to work. That's where I'm going.
Got a permit?
Got a badge. See? Says I'm a night watchman. I gotta go to work.
What do you watch? Where do you work?
I watch things in the ground. Down there.
Down where?
Down under the street. Down under the planks.
Oh, I get it, Bill. He's a night watchman down on the new subway they're building.
Yes, that's it. I go down them steps. Every night I go down them steps and watch.
Well, why did you say so? Get on with you. Get to your watching.
Thank you. Joe Tonetti is waiting for me so he can go home. Every night at 10:30, I take from him the job of watching.
Now, that's a job I wouldn't want any part of.
Me neither. I'll pound my feet on it.
Joey Tonetti. Joey, you can go home now. I'm here to watch.
Hey, what's the matter? You're half a big speakerback belly. You're 5 minutes late. I want to go home. Here's the keys to everything now. You watch out. You don't even go to sleep.
The police don't want to let me come to work. But I show them the badge. You can go home now, Joey. I'll watch everything.
Okay. See you in the morning. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, those people. So many people always pushing me. But I'll show them. I'll fix them good. I'll kill them. That shadow fella, I'll show him too. Now I'm alone. All alone.
Not quite, Anton Spivak. You are not quite alone. I am with you.
Huh?
Do you hear my voice, Anton?
Sure. I always hear voices in the dark, on the street, and here under the street where I watch every night.
Yes, Anton. But you've never heard my voice before, have you?
Well, maybe. I don't think so. What's different about your voice?
It's the voice of the shadow.
Oh, you're a pretty smart voice. How'd you find me? Where's that shadow fella the newspapers talk about?
I am more than just a voice, Anton Spivak. I am the shadow.
You're the shadow?
Yes.
Where are you hiding?
I am hiding under the cloak of invisibility. You cannot see me because I have clouded your mind. So you cannot see that which is here.
How did you get down here in this subway excavation?
I followed you down the steps.
Mm. How'd you know where to find me?
I picked you out of the crowd in the central arcade.
How did you know I was the one?
Your eyes showed me. I knew then how much you hate crowds.
My eyes show you?
Yes. You passed close to me as I stood in the shadows.
Huh?
The arcade is narrow. You didn't see me.
Huh.
No one saw me. But I saw you.
How'd you find out my name?
I followed you to the place where you live. I found out you work here. In the tunnels.
Then you followed me here from my home tonight?
Yes, Anton Spivak. All the way.
Good. You're a very clever shadow. But you must go now. Let me do my work. My work. I ain't got much time. Now go quick before I get mad. You're plenty smart. I'm glad to know you, Mr. Shadow, but now you have to go.
Yes, I'm smart. But you're smarter.
You bet.
Let me stay. I want to learn. You can teach me things. Then maybe we can work together.
You hate people too?
Yes. I hate crowds. Let me watch you and learn.
All right. I'll let you watch.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, you just watch.
What's in this shed?
You see? Dynamite. Sticks and sticks of dynamite.
Is this what you use to kill people with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My precious dynamite. They kill the crowds I hate, see? Now, look here. Here's a stick of dynamite already fused. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six sticks of dynamite to go with it. Now, you watch. See, Shadow, I tie them in a bundle.
But how do you take that dynamite? to the place where you killed all those people. It's a block away. How do you carry it?
That's where I'm smarter than you, Mr. Shadow.
Show me.
I'll show you. Look, see, it's almost 11 o'clock. Here. You see this little hook? I hook the dynamite to it.
Then what, Anton?
Wait, you hear that car overhead on the boards?
Yes.
Well, if the light is red, it will stop right over our heads. Now listen. There, you see? The light is red. Now I take this crowbar. I go up this ladder. Come on, you come with me.
Yes, I am still here. Although you cannot see me.
Now you watch it. I pry the end of this plank back, see? And I hook the dynamite on the brake rods. I strike a match. And I light the fuse. And when the light changes, the car takes the dynamite with it. And when the dynamite explodes a block away, I'm still here. When the... Oh, no. You put out the fuse. You tricked me.
And here is the dynamite.
No. He took it off the car. It's gone without the dynamite. And I promised I'd kill a lot of people tonight. Now I have to wait. Tomorrow the crowds will be still pushing me. Scaring me. You tricked me. That's what you did. You tricked me. Where are you, Shadow? Shadow. Come here, Shadow. Nice, Shadow. Nice, Shadow.
I'm here. Anton Spivak.
Yes. I hear you. Nice, Shadow. Come close to me.
Put down that dynamite, Anton.
No, Shadow. I light another match.
If you touch that match to the fuse, you'll die too.
But I'll kill you. And I don't care. You wouldn't let me kill people. And I don't want to live. I want to die. I want you to die too, Shadow.
Wait, Anton.
No, you blow up my match.
Yes, I have a plan. Those thousands of people waking up the street.
Yes?
You can kill all those people. Wouldn't that be better than just killing the two of us?
How? Tell me how.
Take your dynamite and come with me. Up the steps. Up to the street.
Oh, no. No, there's policemen out there. I saw them.
But they won't see you. Any more than you can see me.
No, they will see me.
Hypnotize them. Huh? Hypnotize them. Look straight at them. Stare at them. And then they won't be able to see you.
No, I'm afraid.
Think of all those people waiting to be killed. Come. Just a few more steps. I am with you. You'll be safe.
I'll try. All those people waiting to be killed. I'll try it. But don't you leave me, Shadow, or I'll light the fuse.
I'm here, Anton Spivak. Look, there are the two policemen. Just stare at them hard as you pass, and they won't see you.
All right, I'll try.
Well, it's past 7, Connors.
Looks like a false alarm this time. Hey, wait a minute. Here's that night watchman.
Yeah, what's the matter with him? What's he staring at?
Look what he's carrying.
You can't see me.
Dynamite, grab him.
No. Take it away from me. Let me go. Hold it. No, I said no.
I got him. It's a match, Joe.
No. Oh, he lied. He fooled me. He said you couldn't see me. No. Give me my dynamite. I want to kill all those people.
Hold him.
No.
Here's Commissioner Westall.
Go.
I got him. We got him. We got the maniac, Chief.
Let me look at him.
No. He tricked me. He said you couldn't see me.
Where'd he come from?
About a subway excavation, Commissioner. He's a night watchman.
No. He tricked me. The Shadow tricked me.
Oh. It was the Shadow.
Yes, Commissioner Weston. The Shadow. I found the killer. But the glory is all yours.
That was The Circle of Death. Original air date was the 28th of November, 1937, starring Orson Welles as Lamont Cranston in The Shadow, and Agnes Moorehead as Margot Lane. Although Margot didn't really factor into Act 2 like she did in Act 1. This is Arthur. You're listening to The Grand Hour on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford. WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio. For the second, we had The Shadow, then we're going to have a six shooter, and then at the end, to celebrate the time of year it is, I'm going to have a little something, call it a third of the show, not quite a third, a quarter of the show. We're only at the quarter mark here so far, and we're completed with The Shadow. So we're gonna go and do some Jimmy Stewart, The Capture of Stacy Galt, again the six shooter starring James Stewart. The original air date of this was the 8th of November, 1953.
James Stewart as the six shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the six shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, immediately following this important announcement, you'll hear Act One of the Six Shooter. Meet the safe driver. If you know what makes him stay alive on the highways, you may be able to follow his good example. He always keeps his car in A1 mechanical condition. He shows courtesy for other drivers. He knows that speed is his greatest enemy. And most important, he knows and obeys the laws. Remember, few accidents happen with safe drivers. Are you one of them? Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
I sure couldn't figure it. I'd ridden down the whole main street all the way from Seth Tooley's bank to Ma Benson's rooming house, and I hadn't seen a single solitary person. The stores were closed, shut tight. There wasn't even a wagon or a horse out in front of them. It looked like the town of Elk Point had just up and gone to sleep, but that didn't make sense either, not at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Whoa, Scar. Whoa, whoa, boy. Well, Ma Benson didn't know what the trouble was. She always had a pretty good notion about everything that went on in Jackson County. You know, folks always used to say that's why the Elk Point Gazette kept going broke.
Yeah.
Old Sadie Benson was too much competition.
Who is it?
Brett Ponson.
Brett?
Yeah.
Well, how do I know it's you?
Well, opening the door might be one way of finding out.
It does sound like you're all right. But if it ain't, I'm just a poor widow woman without a cent of a name. I don't think you're going to
get... Oh, come on now. Come on, Ma. Open up the door.
Oh, Britt, thank goodness. Thank goodness. Well, don't just stand there. Get inside, quick, so I can lock up again.
Oh, sure. All right.
You can't imagine what a fright you gave me when I heard you knocking out there. Oh, but I must say there ain't anybody I'd rather see today.
Well, now, that's a very flattering greeting, Ma. But what's behind that?
Oh, now, stop joshing me, Britt. At a time like this when we all might be murdered any minute.
Murdered?
Stacy Galt is headed this way. Don't tell me you didn't know.
Galt?
That's what I said. Stacy Galt.
Stacy Galt? Oh, I hadn't heard he was in these parts.
You hadn't heard?
No.
Then what on earth brought you to Elk Point?
Oh, I was just passing through on my way to White River. I thought I might stop off long enough to have one of those fine home-cooked meals of yours. Isn't that reason enough?
Well, you're heaven sent, Britt Ponsett. That's what you are. Heaven sent. Come on out in the kitchen with me while I give you the news.
Sure.
I was fixing a batch of cornbread. I had to do something to keep myself from thinking about what might happen. Oh, you can drop that stool there if you like.
Oh, thanks.
Before you sit down, hand me them eggs, will you?
Eggs? Oh, sure. Here they are. Here you are.
Well, now, the first sign of trouble was when Galt held up the Fargo station over in Fort Shafter. That was 10 days, maybe 2 weeks ago.
Well, Shafter's 200 miles from Elk Point.
Well, that's why folks didn't get too excited. Not then, anyhow. We never figured he'd come this far west. He never had before.
Yeah, I guess that's all. Yeah.
But last Monday, he was in White River.
Oh?
Robbed the White River First National. Got away with over $50,000. $50,000. Marshal Andrews, he's the district marshal over to White River. He trailed Galt 5 or 6 miles out of town, and then he lost him. But there wasn't no doubt which way Galt was fixing to go.
Uh-huh.
Oh, now where to put that pan? Oh, yes, here it is. Well, anyhow, just this morning, Ed Scott came barreling into town. He's got the old McBride Ranch out in Easter Canyon, you know.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, Ed seen him last night riding through the canyon.
He's Galt, huh?
Couldn't have been nobody else. Ed recognized him right off, he did.
He did. I thought you said Galt never been around Elk Point for.
Well, there's pictures of him, ain't there? On them wanted posters? Now, I know I've left something out of this batter. If I could only think what... Oh, my stars, bacon powder. Oh, you know, when you use sweet milk, you got to put in bacon powder, or the bread just don't raise up at all. That cupboard right behind you, Britt, please.
Right here?
That door there. Right there.
Oh,
there. It's on the second shelf. Little red can. That's the one. Well, now, like I say, Ed rung the news to town this morning.
Mm-hmm. And that's when everybody took cover, huh?
What else was we to do without a single able-bodied man to defend us?
Oh.
Eddie Scott rounded them all up, formed a posse, and went out hunting Galt.
Oh, now, what about Sheriff Henry? It sounds like that'd be his job, wouldn't it?
Sheriff Henry ain't here.
Oh, I see.
Just when we need him most, he's delivering a prisoner over to county jail at Jackson.
I see.
Of course, that gave Ed Scott his chance to take charge. He's always been the pushing type, wanting to run everything. I guess he figures if he can capture Galt, it'll be a real feather in his cap. Not to mention the $10,000 reward the White River First National is offering.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It sure is. $10,000. Oh, can you open the oven for me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Now, be careful, Britt. Now, don't you burn yourself. You better use that dish towel there on the rack.
All right.
I don't know why I bothered making cornbread. Won't be anybody here to eat it. Except maybe you, Britt. You'll stay for supper anyway, won't you, in spite of this Galt business?
Well, it would take more than Stacy Galt to do me out of some of your cornbread. Gee whiz, I'd ride 20 miles just to get a whiff of it.
Britt. Well, my cooking's all right, but it ain't nothing exceptional.
No,
you always was one to hand out the blood. Don't stop it. You'll have me so flustered. I won't know whether I'm coming or going.
I think I'll go out and put Scar in the barn.
Well, you're welcome to feed him. There's plenty of hay.
Thanks. Ma.
Yeah?
Now, you weren't serious about
there only being two of us for supper, weren't you?
Well, I sure was.
Well, but they used to have plenty of boarders, more than you could take care of.
Oh, I've still got my boarders, Britt. But they're all out with Ed Scott's posse.
Oh, I see.
I told you. There ain't a male between the ages of 10 and 60 left in town. Besides you, of course. Why, even old man Fletcher went along with that posse.
No.
They had to help him onto his horse, but he went. Well, you better hurry now, Britt. I'll have supper on the table by the time you get back from the barn.
It is quite a supper, too. Baked ham with brown sugar dripping down the sides, and mashed potatoes swimming in gravy, enough green lima beans to feed the whole population of Elk Point. And that cornbread, gee whiz, it just light yellow and fluffy with homemade maple syrup to pour over it, I tell you. When I started eating it, I figured I'd have a hard time making a dent in the plate Ma put before me, but the next thing I knew, I was asking for seconds. No, just a thin slice, Ma. No, that's too much. That's too much.
Now, I'll only have to throw it away.
No, just go easy on it. No, I don't know, though.
There. A few more potatoes?
No, I don't want any more potatoes, Ma.
All right, Ray, just a few.
No, I don't want any more
now,
beans.
Now, you can't eat ham with nothing to go with it.
No, I don't want any.
Goodness. Here you are.
Well, how about you, Ma? You've hardly touched any of your food.
Oh, what you cook yourself don't taste as good somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not still worrying about Stacy Gall,
are you? Oh, certainly am not. Not since you showed up. If he come into town now, you'd take care of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't imagine he'll get past Ed Scott's posse.
And you don't know Ed Scott very good. Why, he'll have that posse running around in circles. I'll bet you could drive a herd of cattle right through the middle of them men, and they wouldn't even notice.
Nope. You want me to answer it?
No, I'll see who it is. You might keep your right hand free, though, just in case. Who's there?
Oh, it's Seth Tooley.
What are you doing back? You ain't caught Galt, have you?
No, we ain't caught him. He's been punched in town. My wife thought she seen him going into your place this afternoon.
Yeah, he's here, but get out of the way.
Oh, I gotta talk to Britt.
Oh, there's Seth.
Britt, he's in Elk Point. Stacy Galt is in Elk Point.
No.
Yes, he is. I saw him not 5 minutes ago riding over the South Creek Bridge. He means to rob my bank. I know he does. That's the only thing he could have come for.
Well, you've got more than enough men to take care of him, haven't you, Sam?
The posse's still out combing the hills, way out in the hills, yeah.
What, Sam?
Well, my rheumatism started acting up. It was paining me something terrible. I had to drop out and come back alone.
That rheumatism of yours is sure a convenient sickness sometimes, Seth.
Well, you can be mighty thankful for it tonight. Otherwise, Galt might have got by unnoticed. Oh, we got to move fast, Britt, before he reaches the bank. I brought my .44. I figured the two of us together could...
No, just hold on, Seth. What makes you so sure the man you saw was Galt?
Oh, it's got to be him. Fits his description to a T, to a T.
Pretty dark out there, you know.
He was on the trail from White River. There's nowhere else could come from. Britt, we all know Galt was headed this way.
What did I tell you? He got through Ed Scott's posse just like I said he would.
Yeah, he might have at that. There was a couple of times when we sort of lost our whereabouts. Well, come on, Britt. You ain't going to leave me to take care of Galt all alone, are you? Not that I'd be afraid to try it, of course.
All right, Seth. I'm coming. I wasn't quite finished my supper, but I...
Now, who on earth...
Now, wait a minute. Wait. Don't answer it, Ma. Why, that might be Stacy Galt.
Now, why would Galt be coming here to Ma's place? Now, I'll see who it is.
Well, I'll cover you, Britt. While you open the door, you ain't got a thing to worry about. I'll cover you.
Honey.
Sign out front says rooms. I'm looking for a place to stay.
It's him. Well, come on in. Here, this is Ma Benson. This is her rooming house.
Evening, ma'am.
I'm sorry. I'm full up.
Oh? That's too bad. was only going to be here one night. Any place else I might stop over?
No, that is not that I know of.
Well, before you go, mister. Yeah?
We don't mean to be nosy or anything like that, but would you mind telling us what you're doing here in Elk Point?
I got some business at the bank tomorrow.
The bank? Oh.
That's right. What are you doing with that gun, mister?
What?
Let me pick it up for you.
No. Hey, never mind. Just leave it there. Just leave it.
Laying on the floor?
Well, it ain't loaded anyway.
A man's a fool to carry an unloaded gun. Say, what time does the bank open up in the morning?
It ain't open tomorrow. Tomorrow's a holiday.
That's so? Funny, I didn't know.
Well, it's kind of a special holiday just here in Elk Point.
Oh.
You came from White River, didn't you, mister?
That's right. And how did you... you heard about me. I was on my way, huh? News sure travels fast, don't it?
Yes, it sure does.
Well, if you haven't got a vacant room, I...
You sure you can't squeeze them in somewhere?
Yes.
You know, since some of your regulars won't be back tonight anyway, you could... How about it, Ma?
Well, I guess I could find a place for him if you really think...
I'd appreciate it, ma'am.
Just follow me upstairs and I'll see what I can do.
Thanks, mister.
No trouble.
Well, what's the matter with you, Britt? Get Ma to let him stay here.
Well, if he's galled, well, this way we'll be able to keep an eye on him, don't you
think? If he's... You seen that satchel he was carrying, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, don't you see? That's where he's got the stolen money. You can bet your bottom dollar on it.
Mm-hmm. No.
And, Britt, you heard what he said about my bank. He was telling us plain as day that he means to rob it. That's the way Galt is. Everybody says so. You better stop that, Eden, and listen to me. He comes right out and announces what he aims to do. Don't make no bones about it. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't hear him mention anything about robbing you, Seth.
You didn't, Bibba. How much plainer could he make it?
Yeah, well...
And you, Britt, I'm surprised at you. He was standing there wide open. Why, you could have outgod him without even half trying.
Well, I guess either of us could have done that, Seth, seeing as how he wasn't wearing a gun.
What?
Pass me that cornbread, will you?
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Yes, Thursday is packed with stellar entertainment on the NBC Radio Network. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Seth Tooley just stood there watching me finish up supper, and the expression on his face didn't help my digestion much. He sure did look disgusted. But I just wasn't convinced that this new fella and Stacy Galt were the same man. I'd never seen Galt before, of course, and the fella Ma took upstairs did look something like the wanted posters, and he had come from White River, that was all true, but no doubt... The poster pictures and the satchel and where a man comes from just don't prove he's an outlaw. At least, not for certain.
You gonna sit there eating all night?
No.
Quit, Ponsett!
No, I'm done now.
Well?
Well, he's not robbing your bank, Seth.
Well, what do you want me to do? Wait till he tries it?
No, now look. Now, we're not sheriffs or deputies, and we can't arrest somebody just on suspicion. And besides, I don't think he's Gault.
Oh, you don't?
Now, just don't stand to reason. Now, why would Gault come riding into town here? He knows everybody's on the lookout for him.
Well, with that posse out in the hills, he's a lot safer here in town than he would be anywhere else. And don't think he don't know that, too.
Well, it's about time to turn in on
him. Brett!
Now, look, Seth, when Sheriff Henry comes back, he can arrest this fellow if he wants to. I think he'd make a mistake. I think he'd be arresting the wrong man, but, well.
Brett Ponson, I'll never forgive you for this. Not if I live to be 70, 90.
Now, Mom.
Leaving me at the mercy of a killer. Why, we'd have been better off if you never showed up in Elk Point at all. This is terrible.
Now, just take it easy, Mom.
Take it easy? Stacy Gault staying right under my own roof?
Now, you could be jumping to conclusions, same as Seth here.
Oh, am I? Do you know what's in that satchel?
Nope.
Money. Stacks and stacks of it.
Oh, now, Mom.
I watched him through the keyhole. He took it out and started counting it. And there's slips of paper fastened around the bills. And the printing on that paper says, White River First National Bank.
There, you see.
You sure of this, Ma?
Well, in your own eyes, ain't I? All right. And that ain't all he's got. You remember what it said on the wanted poster about how Gault always wears yellow leather gloves?
Yes, I remember.
Well, he's got the gloves, too. Right there in the satchel with the money. Ha! Ha! You satisfied now, Britt? Seth, you gotta find the posse and bring him back here as soon as you can.
All right, Ma. You see that he don't get away, Britt.
Yep, I'll see to it.
For heaven's sake, Seth, hurry!
Sure, Ma, sure. I'm in a hurry.
Gee, I'm sorry if I got you into something, Ma, but I just can't believe...
You can't believe what, Britt?
Nothing, Ma, nothing. Well, Ma cleared off the table and took the dishes out the kitchen. Well, I offered to dry, but she said she'd rather do them herself, so I went into the parlor to wait. The fellow upstairs was moving around, getting ready for bed. At least, that's what I hoped he was doing. His room was right over my head, and when the bed springs gave out a little creak, I felt a little better about things. About 20 minutes later, Ma came out and sat down in her rocker beside the fireplace. She was crocheting one of those doodads you put in the arm of a chair, you know. We didn't do much talking. Not for the next couple of hours, we didn't. And then about 11 o'clock, the posse came riding up. Well... Must be them, Ma.
Oh, it's about time. Well?
Maybe you'd better wait in the kitchen in case there's any trouble, huh?
There won't be no trouble now, thanks to Seth Tooley.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
oh,
Ma.
Oh, all right, Britt, all right.
He's still here, Britt?
Yeah, he's asleep.
Oh. You know Britt Ponsett, don't you, Ed?
Yeah, sure. Now, here's the plan. The rest of the boys have got the house surrounded.
Whole house surrounded.
Gault couldn't get out no matter what happened.
Uh-huh.
All right, now. The three of us will go upstairs. Come on.
Yeah.
Now, as soon as we get to his room, I'll kick the door open. Then we all blaze away at the bed.
Now. Just hold on here a minute. Just hold on.
Yeah? Well, what's the matter,
Britt? Now, what you're talking about is cold-blooded murder.
Just giving him a dose of his own medicine, that's all.
That's all?
Now, Ed...
Now, don't tell me you still ain't satisfied that he's Gault.
Maybe he is. That doesn't matter. He's entitled to a trial just like everybody else.
Oh, use your head, Britt. If we try taking him alive, he's bound to get one or two of us first.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the way we're gonna take him, anyway.
Now, Britt...
Now, you just... wait here, both of you. I'll bring him down to you. And I want your word that he goes to jail in one piece, huh?
I can't promise nothing like that. The boys outside are pretty mad about it.
Maybe the boys would like to shoot it out with both Gault and me,
Britt, you don't...
What do you say, Scott?
Well, all right, Britt. He goes to jail.
But so help me.
Seth, how about
it? Sure, Britt, sure.
But if anything happens to you, you got nobody but yourself to blame.
Only yourself.
Upstairs hall was pitch dark. I moved along quiet as I could. I tried to remember where the doors were. It's been a couple of years since I'd stayed at Benson's. I wasn't just sure which room. I pressed my ear against the door and listened. I couldn't hear anybody breathing inside, so I headed for the next door. Right there now. I had my hand on the knob when I hooked my leg on the hall table and I reached out and touched him. Oh, he'd be awake now, so I had to move fast. I swung the door open and brought up my gun.
Who's there? What do you want?
I stay where you are and I don't reach for anything.
What? Huh? What are you talking about?
The lamp right beside his bed gave off enough light so I could see him. I leaned over and turned it up. He hadn't moved. He just sat there. Eyes wide open, hey, blinking.
What's going on here, mister?
I think you better put your clothes on.
Oh, sure. Whatever you say. But why? What's all this about?
Well, there's some boys downstairs want to talk to you.
Come to me?
That's right.
What? I don't know anybody in these parts.
Well, they know you. At least they think they do.
Oh?
Yeah, they claim you're Stacy Gault.
Gault?
That's right.
Why, they're crazy, plumb crazy.
They are?
Ain't they heard? How could I be Gault?
What do you mean?
Gault's in jail, White River. He was captured, locked up day before yesterday.
You sure that?
I ought to be. I captured him.
You?
The proof's right there in my satchel. Reward money. White River First National paid it to me yesterday.
No.
And Marshal Andrews gave me Gault's yellow gloves as a sort of memento of the occasion, along with a letter of congratulations. Yeah. You see him?
You captured Stacy Gault?
It was kind of accidental. You see, I'm a drummer. Travel around selling gadgets and things. I didn't know the cabin was Gault's hideout. Looked like any other cabin to me. Thought there might be some kids living there. So I was getting up my samples when the door opened. Guess he thought the six-shooter I was holding was a real thing. Of course, it did look mighty genuine for an imitation. You sure make realistic-looking toys these days.
And he didn't try to shoot it out with you?
No. All he said was, okay, you got the drop on me. I didn't know what he was talking about, but I was too surprised to say so.
Yeah.
Next thing he handed me his gun, and, well, it was about then Marshal Andrews come riding up. Marshal was real nice about giving me all the credit. Want to see the letter he writ?
No. But you bring that down along with you, will you? What I want to see is Ed Scott's face when you show him that letter. That's what I want to see. So when he got finished putting his clothes on, I took Amos Foster, that was his name. I took him downstairs, and Ed and Seth, they were standing at the bottom, covering us with their guns. The letter from Marshal Andrews finally convinced them. They put their guns away and marched outside. And that was just about the unhappiest posse I ever saw, considering that they'd caught their man. Ma Benson, she came out of the kitchen in time to hear the tail end of Amos's explanation. She didn't say anything, just shook her head and then offered to make some coffee and heat up what was left of the cornbread. That sounded real good to Amos. Sounded good to me, too, except for one thing. I knew there wasn't any cornbread left to heat up. I sort of finished it off at supper.
So there we go. The capture of Stacy Gault is actually a pretty good one. Original air date with the 8th of November, 1953. Pretty much, I'm just going to play out another Jimmy Stewart narration after this. You're listening to Arthur on the Grand Hour, 91.5 FM, WMFO, WMFO.org. I believe Peanut Butter and Jams will come after this. and I'll just play out my narration until then. Thanks.
Bonds today. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Eleanor Audley, Barney Phillips, Forrest Lewis, and Seth Tooley was played by Parley Bear. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam. And the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Hal Gibney speaking. Hear exciting stroke of fate tonight.
Begins in the spring, every spring for 100 springs, before the last of the last snow disappears.
Hey, Ma! Ma, the kids are playing baseball. Where's my catcher's mitt?
Is there a home where children live? One home that doesn't echo with that sound? Or a ball field that doesn't echo with this one?
You're catching. Nobody else wants to catch. It's your turn.
For the professional baseball player, it begins in the spring. Every spring for 100 springs. Down south at spring training, 800 men scramble out of the clubhouse, into the dugouts, out onto the field.
I got it.
And 8 months later, 500 at-bats later, thousands of pitches later, one team, 25 men, will come off the field and into the clubhouse a winner.
Champagne over each other's heads. But if you think they're acting like a bunch of kids, that's exactly what they're doing.
A winner. What a winner baseball began with 100 years ago. The year was 1869, and the team was the Cincinnati Red Stockings. They took on all comers and piled up a record of 65 wins and no defeats. As some of the crustiest old-timers would have remarked, let's see some of the modern boys match that for percentage. And most important of all, those early Red Legs racked up most of those 65 wins on the road.
I was playing in Des Moines, Iowa, and you get on a train and you carry your bats in your own bag, your own uniform, roll it up and carry a uniform. Get on a train with the old wicker seats and they were burning coal. And you get in the car in July and August and go from Des Moines to Wichita, Kansas, all night, part of the next day. And if you opened up the window, you'd be eating soot and cinders all night. And if you closed the window, you'd roast to death.
They traveled 12,000 miles and showed 200,000 Americans just what this great game was all about. Americans who lived in places like St. Louis and Chicago, Hartford, Louisville, and other cities that joined together in 1876 to form the National League. Lee Allen, Hall of Fame historian, recalls those early days.
In 1876, the National League, of course, was formed, and it was discovered early that some of the cities were not large enough to support Major League Ball. So there were various shifts of franchises. Then in 1882, a rival league was formed, the American Association. It lasted 10 years and provided the National League with a great deal of rivalry. Finally, the National League absorbed four of the clubs from the American Association and became a 12-club league. Eventually, the ranks were reduced in 1900 to 8 clubs. That gave the American League a chance. And by 1901, the National and American Leagues were at war, raiding each other's rosters and engaged in a salary battle, and one league would offer more than the other did, and so on, with the result that peace was made in 1903.
In those early 1900s, while the world turned a century, baseball turned a corner. From the first stumbling footsteps of a newborn game, baseball became bold and confident and exciting. The game was exciting because the players were exciting.
Big Ed Walsh, you talk about spitballs. I think that ball disintegrated and then came back together when the catcher got a hold of it.
So they're screaming out about the dean ball. If I was pitching to that, see if I could skip him off the head.
Well, I came back to the bench. Why? He called me that SB. What are you doing out there? And he was standing on the top step. And when I hit him, he fell over on the bench.
You hit him?
I did.
You hit McGraw?
I did.
You socked him?
And didn't knock him out. Knocked him back into the bench.
What a tough battling bunch they were, with colorful nicknames like the Big Train and Iron Joe and the Gray Eagle, the Flying Dutchman.
I got Cy from Cyclone. They shortened it up. And since that, I have gone by the name of Cy Young, and my name is Denton Young.
What is it that baseball has always had that Americans have always wanted? To make a game your national pastime, it's got to have a little more than just hits, runs, and errors. Now, a philosopher once wrote, "Whoever wants to know the heart and mind of America had better learn baseball. No other sport, only baseball, could have captured our hearts and our minds for the springs and the summers of 100 seasons. Our every emotion is touched by it, like laughter. Think of the times baseball has lifted our spirits with laughter."
Well, let's see, we have on the bags, we have who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
That's what I want to find out.
I say, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes.
You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
And you know the fellow's name?
Well, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first base.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell
That's
me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Hello, Olympic Games.
What can I do for you, Mr. Double A? You've got a game. How many couples? 18 people? That's a hell of a lot of people. Well, the ideal game is, I mean, 2-3 couples, you know, come over to the house, they get a little smashed, and, you know.
Somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. Somewhere bands are playing, and somewhere hearts are light. Somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville. Mighty Casey has struck out.
This is Casey Stengel. And I would have to say, the first time that the New York Yankees win the pennant in 1949, when we played the Boston Red Sox, the last two games of the playing season. And a ball was hit, naturally, out to right field, and we caught a man going into the home plate, and we ended up as the victors, and I believe I was more excited because of my first World Series that I had been accustomed to get into to see if I couldn't go on and make a record.
Fan yelled that Satch was still jangling his juices, and I asked him if it was true.
Yes, Joe, it's two things I'm doing. I'm jangling my juices and keeping my age, because a lot of people want to find out how old I am. And
what's the smallest target you've ever thrown over?
The smallest target I ever thrown over was a top off of a Coca-Cola bottle.
And I think that I'll ask this first gentleman here, who has been watching the ball game, how he's enjoying the game. Sir, how'd you like the first game today?
Well, of course, being a Washington fan, I thought it was great.
Are you originally from Washington, sir?
No, I'm a Californian.
What sort of work do you do, sir?
I work for the government.
Oh, for the government,
yes,
huh?
Yes, I work for the government.
What sort of work do you do, sir?
Well, I'm the vice president.
Of course, baseball isn't all fun. It often fills our hearts with sympathy for those in pain.
Well, I think Mantle tolerated more pain than any ball player that I know of, or any athlete, I'd say. And he would wrap 9 foot by 6 inch wide Conco bandage gauze on him. We always put rub him with an ointment, what we call a liniment, hot liniment, before he put the bandages on.
And we feel special sympathy for those who'll never play again, like Roy Campanella. Or for those who courageously try a comeback, like Tony Canigliaro.
And I don't think there's anybody in the game that was closer to death than I was when that I got hit. And I just said a couple of prayers just to stay alive. I wasn't ever even thinking about my future in baseball. I was just thinking about keep being alive.
It's the drama of baseball that demands we worship our heroes.
Yes, yes. Can we have your autograph?
What's your name?
Kim.
Yours?
John.
John.
And, of course, its drama demands that we despise its villains. It's baseball that can make us happy enough to burst into song.
Say hey,
say who?
Swing it at the plate, say hey,
say who?
Say Willie, that giant.
Started baseball's famous streak that's got us all aglow. He's just a man and not a freak, Jolting Joe DiMaggio.
Joe, Joe DiMaggio, we want you on our side.
He'd talk to me.
It's baseball that can make us sad enough to burst into tears, like the day Lou Gehrig said goodbye.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
What a great feeling it is to get hungry out at the ballpark along about the sixth inning.
Hey, hot dog! Hey, hot dog! Hey, it's a hot dog! Yeah.
And it's baseball that often makes us proud. The only American sport that gets the President of the United States to officially open its season.
Mr. President, have you had an opportunity to do any warming up for this, sir?
Well, we've just been getting ready here today.
He's throwing nothing but strikes.
Throwing nothing but strikes. It's very good.
I feel it important that we get a not be a nation just of spectators, even though that's what we are today, but also a nation of participants, particularly to make it possible for young men and women to participate actively in physical effort.
Yes, in all the world, there's no other game like our game of baseball. To the old-timer, baseball is that marvelous mixture of stories and men and memories of a bygone era. So, for the next few minutes, we're going back in time and hear the actual voices of the grand old men of baseball as they tell it like it was. Listen.
No question about the greatest player is Ty Cobb. A fella could do anything. You'd have Detroit beat one run in the ninth inning. You get two men out, and that Cobb invariably would come up. You could bet your life that he'd get his fourth or third base before you get that next man up.
Ty would cut you down. There's no doubt about that. He'd cut you down if you didn't give him a spot to go into that bag. If you give him a spot, he told many and many, I heard him tell him, but if you don't give me room, I'll cut you out to get in there.
Cobb could have been an awfully popular fella. But, boy, everybody despised him. His personality was rotten.
You know, they talk to me about Cobb being the greatest ball player ever lived, but I always say that one of the greatest ball players ever lived. I said, in my book, Honest Wagner is the greatest ball player ever lived, in my book. I've seen him in his prime. He could do everything. Cobb could only play the outfield. Honest could